It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. So nice. We do it twice. It's the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. He's Evan Silva, Roto World's own. I'm Ross Tucker. You know about following us on Twitter and retweeting when we post the podcast. That's appreciated. I'm hoping and expecting several of you send in emails next week that we can answer your questions. In the meantime, my question, Evan, is give me a defense that I should pick up for this week. Who you got?
Okay, my favorite defensive play of the week is the Patriots at home against the Eagles. They check all the boxes that we look for. They should be owned. The Patriots should be owned. But, sometimes people have a tendency to rage drop defenses and things like this when they don't have a big game. And I guess the Patriots didn't have a lot of fantasy points in their last game against the Broncos. And so, I mentor this one guy who does a high stakes league, and he wanted to drop the Patriots. And I'm like, no, we need to use them against the Eagles this week. So if you see the Patriots laying on your waiver wire, pick them up immediately and use them. They're second in the NFL in sacks. Really like the Patriots this week, but more classic streamers, would be the Redskins at home against Matt Castle. The Redskins are favored by 4. They check boxes and they're facing a bad quarterback. So like them. Also like the Bears a little bit against Blaine Gabbert. Now Blaine Gabbert has played better than we expected, but it's not like the 49ers are scoring a lot of points with Blaine Gabbert in there. I'm bringing up the stats right now of the Bears' pass defense over there. Since their bye, they have held Aaron Rodgers, Brock Osweiler, Nick Foles, Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater to 57% completions, 6.29 yards per attempt, and 5 touchdowns in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. So, not a lot of big weeks there for opposing quarterbacks. Osweiler had the best game against them during that stretch. They've started to play pretty well. They're at home and they're favored. I think Cutler and Jeffrey have a big day, and I think that the Bears put the 49ers in a lot of situations where they do have to lean on Gabbert. I like my chances of Vic Fangio against Gabbert. So the Bears are a defense that almost certainly on your waiver wire you can use. They're very usable this week.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get into the games after I tell you about DraftKings.com. Once I tell you about DraftKings.com, it's all games all the time for the rest of the podcast. DraftKings.com can turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. All you need to do is use the promo code FEAST, and you can play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter FEAST for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. Evan is constantly mentioning DFS. He's constantly talking about contrarian plays and hotly owned guys. Why don't you use that knowledge, make your Sundays a little bit more interesting, maybe a lot of bit more interesting at DraftKings.com using our code FEAST for free entry.
Next meal.
We shall start in Western New York, which is where I will be on Sunday, Evan. It is the Houston Texans taking on the Buffalo Bills. It was a down week for DeAndre, but obviously in DeAndre we trust, right?
Yeah, for sure. Now, this is an ugly game on paper. 41.5 total. That's tied with Minnesota-Seattle for the lowest of the week. you know, you're looking at the two number one wide receivers and LeSean McCoy and not a whole lot else. I mean, it was nice to see Tyrod Taylor play well in the first half against Kansas City. I mean, I totally did not expect that, you know. But it was nice to see him make some throws. It was nice to see Sammy Watkins, you know, get open against Sean Smith and make some. I mean, he was in beast mode in the first two quarters, targeted once in the second half. How about that? But I do like DeAndre Hopkins a lot as a – because he was almost 50% owned last week in DFS. I mean, half the field had DeAndre Hopkins. So a ton of those people are going to be like, I'm not playing this guy this week. You know, and then there will be a lot of other people that look at the situation and are like, oh, man, against Buffalo? You know, so DeAndre Hopkins, in the matter of 1 week, his ownership percentage is probably going to go from around 50% to around 9%. And that might even be aggressive as people look at, you know, wide receivers that are in much that cost a lot, that are in much better situations. So I like DeAndre Hopkins as a contrarian daily fantasy play this week. You know, Jeremy Maclin ripped up the Bills cornerbacks last week. I mean, Ronald Darby had a really bad game. Stephon Gilmore gave a bunch of catches to Maclin as well. It's not an impossible matchup for DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't think we're going to see a whole lot from the Texans running game, which has devolved into a five-way timeshare. Last week they added Akeem Hunt to the mix, and Cecil Shorts is now their wildcat specialist. So they got Alfred Blue, they got Chris Polk, they got Jonathan Grimes, they got Akeem Hunt, and they got Cecil Shorts getting carries at this point. I mean, there's no way that you can trust a Texans fantasy back at this point.
Let's roll.
Next meal.
Cincinnati is in Cleveland, where as of now, when we are recording this, we don't know who the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns will be. I'm not sure it really matters. Let's talk Bengals. Jeremy Hill had his best rushing game. Didn't have as many touchdowns, but his best rushing game of the year. Do you see this continuing?
I wish. You know, I love Jeremy Hill. He was a league winner for me last year. But he left the game with an ankle injury. He says he's going to be okay. But, you know, if you remember, Cleveland and Cincinnati played on Thursday Night Football a few weeks ago. I thought Jeremy Hill would have a big game in that one, and he just did not. I mean, he was ineffective. They rotated series with him and Giovanni Bernard. And then even on Jeremy Hill's series, they would pull him on every passing down for Gio. So, but I do like Gio if we see that Jeremy Hill is out, but my expectation is that he'll play. You know, unfortunately, I don't think we can look at this game and, you know, be like targeting the Bengals running backs aggressively. I think it's going to remain an even timeshare. Giovanni Bernard doesn't score touchdowns. He does every once in a while have a nice PPR week. Jeremy Hill does score touchdowns, but they're difficult to predict when they're going to happen. And then when he doesn't score a touchdown, you know, you're very often left with like 4 points, which can really hurt you in a given week. So like an A.J. Green, will especially like A.J. Green if Tyler Eifert does not play. That's a situation to monitor. He left last week's game with a stinger. I would suspect that they rely on A.J. Green a little bit more in the red zone if they have to compensate for Tyler Eifert's loss. Marvin Jones could also become interesting in that scenario. I can't place any faith in Marvin Jones after he's let me down so many times. But A.J. Green this week I don't think would be a point-chasing play in daily fantasy, certainly not in season-long leagues, especially if Tyler Eifert does not go. I mean, I think A.J. Green would be a really strong bet to score a touchdown if Tyler Eifert does not play.
Anything on the Browns? Anything we're talking about? Gary Barnage?
Austin Davis, I think, will be the Brown starter this week. I don't know, man. You know, it was nice to see him throw a touchdown pass to Travis Benjamin on Monday night. I don't know, Ross.
That's okay. You don't have to know. Let's move on.
Perfect.
Next meal.
I don't think anybody can trust any of those dudes. Can you trust dudes in Baltimore, Miami? It's Matt Schaub throwing to Kamar Aiken and handing off to Buck Allen, who, well, those are the guys the Ravens are going with.
Yeah, and throwing pick sixes to Carlos Dansby. And if you wouldn't have thrown that interception late in the game, and then Justin Tucker would have come on and kicked a 40-plus yard field goal, I would have come in first in a daily fantasy tournament. So I was pretty angry, or not angry, but you know, frustrated that Schaub threw that interception late in the game, because I thought that they were going to go down and Tucker was going to kick a 40-yard field goal. But that's how it goes. And I think that Matt Schaub is a major liability. If I had any confidence at all in the Dolphins' defense, I would have looked at them as a streamer this week. I mean, they're at home. They're favored. They're facing a quarterback that loves to throw the ball to the other team. I mean, I think that Buck Allen is – he didn't play quite as much as I expected. He was not really used as a full-time workhorse. Terrence West got some work for the Ravens. But I think he's an okay start against Miami, which has, of course, struggled in run defense this year. Schaub did target Kamar Aiken pretty heavily. That's good news. But, you know, Kamar Aiken is still Kamar Aiken, and he's like a fringe third receiver in fantasy. Buck Allen is like a bottom rung RB2. I don't think you can look at Crockett Gilmore at this point. And, you know, Chris Givens certainly has some big play ability, but he's also a guy who's probably never going to catch more than a couple of passes in a game. So he's not really a fantasy option. For Miami, Ryan Tannehill, his performance in fantasy last week was awesome, and his performance on the actual field was dreadful. However, you know, we discussed him as a streamer. The Dolphins are likely going to have to throw the ball to move it against the Ravens. The Ravens shut down the run. They don't rush the passer. So the way to attack them is to have your quarterback, you know, feed targets to his receivers. I would expect a lot of work again for Jarvis Landry. Jay Ajayi played more snaps than Lamar Miller last week. That is a big, big concern for Lamar Miller. And Jay Ajayi did play a lot in garbage time. But still, I mean, the Dolphins had their starters in during garbage time. So I would be concerned if I had to play Lamar Miller. Like, I'm in a dynasty league where I own Lamar Miller, and I'm definitely playing Buck Allen over him. I might play Jeremy Langford over him. You know, just not a lot of confidence in Lamar Miller at this point. Devontae Parker became a starter last week when Rishard Matthews left with fractured ribs. Devontae Parker played 81% of the Dolphins snaps, saw 10 targets. That's a number that was obviously inflated by the flow of the game and the fact that Tannehill threw like 58 passes. But still, I mean, Devontae Parker becomes a fantasy option as a full-time player with talent in a game where the Dolphins are going to have to throw to move the ball. Now, of course, you got Dan Campbell, you know, firing Bill Lazor because they weren't running the ball enough. So now the interim OC, Zach Taylor, is saying, oh, we're going to run the ball. Like, you don't run the ball. That's not how you beat the Ravens. You don't beat the Ravens by running the ball. So let's hope that they make actual good coaching decisions and throw the ball on the Ravens, because the Ravens can't rush the passer, and that's how you generate offense against them.
All right.
Next meal.
Agreed. Well said. Jets are at the Giants. This is the AFC Fantasy Feast. We're focusing in on the Jets, where my buddy Fitzmagic has been pretty hot the last 3 weeks, and the receivers both seem to come through more often than not.
Yeah, well, Fitzpatrick was hot this past week for sure against Miami. You know, he threw four TDs, no turnovers. So that was good. The New York media, it was so weird. Like this, the week before week 13 or before week 12, I don't know if you saw it, but there were all these stories in the New York media about, oh, should they bench Ryan Fitzpatrick? Like to go to Geno Smith? I mean, you know, what is that all about? Anyways, I kept seeing these stories coming up about, you know, is Fitzpatrick is the answer? Is the time for the Jets to make a quarterback change? Like, of course it wasn't. So this game is okay. I think on paper, I think that there is some reason to believe it could be relatively high scoring. You got the Giants going back home after the really frustrating road loss. And then you got the Jets, who may not have Darrell Revis. Their offense has started to pick it back up. I mean, Chris Ivory, you know, he's averaging almost 5 yards per carry over his last three games, broke a long touchdown run. Last week, Brandon Marshall destroyed Brent Grimes one-on-one. Eric Decker should have had a bigger day, dropped a touchdown, had another drop during that game. But, yeah, I mean, Eric Decker is an every-week wide receiver two in fantasy. He has at least 80 yards and or a touchdown every single game that he's played this year. And he's got the best matchup amongst the Jets receivers against Trevin Wade, the Giants fill-in slot corner. The Giants have tried to use a bunch of different guys at slot corner this year. And Trevin Wade is the latest. He's like 5'10", 190. You know, Eric Decker, 6'3", 220. So really like Decker. As a high floor play against the Giants. Marshall will have a more difficult matchup against, you know, on the perimeter against DRC and Amu Kamara, but Marshall has been a stud this year, and Fitzpatrick is willing to feed him, you know, even when he's theoretically covered. So Ivory, Marshall, and Decker are, I mean, I think they're all strong plays. They, you know, their workloads on a week-to-week basis are pretty consistent. You know that those guys are going to get the ball.
All right.
Next meal.
Jacksonville is in Tennessee in a game that is really relevant only for young quarterbacks and fantasy purposes. I guess let's start with Jacksonville.
Yeah, pretty low total on this game, 43. We saw these teams play on Thursday Night Football a couple of weeks ago. The final score was like 19-13 or something like that. You know, there are reasons to believe that both of these teams are kind of ascending with their young talent. But, you know, I don't think you can expect a lot of fireworks. Do like Marcus Mariota as a streamer this week. I just like attacking the Jaguars' pass defense because they're another team that funnels action into the air because they stop the run. We saw that last week with Phillip Rivers. He had, after a terrible game against Kansas City, he threw for 300 yards and four touchdowns against the Jags. I don't think that Marcus Mariota will have that big of a game, but I think he'll be solid for you, and he offers some upside. He's coming off a three-touchdown game himself. Delonte Walker ripped up the Jags in that Thursday night game. He's been ripping everybody up. I mean, coming off another 90-yard game. So he's a really strong start for the Titans. Can't look at any of their running backs, unfortunately. Kendall Wright is a little bit of a bounce-back candidate, I think. Did not play well in his first game back from the knee injury against Oakland. But the Jaguars got torn up in the slot by Stevie Johnson last week, 7 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown. Kendall Wright, you know, not a great option. I'd like to see him play well in a game first, but I don't think he's a bad option either. The Jags, I don't think Allen Hurns is going to play. So that boosts the target projection and the touchdown projection. I mean, Allen Hurns has scored a lot of touchdowns. For Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas this week, I mean, if we get confirmation that Allen Hurns is not going to play, he was concussed in their last game. I think Allen Robinson is a cash game play in daily fantasy. You know, I think he becomes arguably a top five receiver play on the week. And then Julius Thomas and Allen Robinson are tied for the team lead in targets over the Jaguars' last two games at 19. And Julius Thomas has scored a touchdown in back-to-back weeks. So he's starting to turn it on, facing a Titans defense that has given up, I think, the sixth most fantasy points to tight end. So that is good news for him. TJ Yeldon, really, really disappointing game against San Diego. Not that it was necessarily his fault. They fell behind the Chargers. And when they were in the red zone, they threw it, and Blake Bortles made all these like weird decisions and these jump throws, these Tim Tebow jump throws, and you know, just none of it really worked. Their red zone offense was abysmal. But TJ Yeldon is, you know, a second RB in fantasy without a lot of upside. Has not scored a touchdown since week 7. Only has 2 touchdowns on the year, despite seeing consistent workloads and playing over 80% of the snaps. So he's a floor play and doesn't give you very much ceiling.
Right. And I don't even know what to say about the Titans other than Delanie Walker. You should probably play him and that's it. Right. I mean, is there anybody else that you should actually have in your lineup? You said Mariota might be a streamer, but that's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I discussed Kendall Wright, but yeah, that's it.
All right. Let's move on.
Next meal.
KC is in Oakland, and Alex Smith is slicing and dicing dudes right now. Deep downfield throws to Macklin, 20-plus yard touchdowns to Kelsey. Spencer Ware is a beast. What do you got on the Chiefs in Oakland?
Yeah, and I should have mentioned Alex Smith as a streamer, actually. He's definitely... definitely worth consideration. I like to attack the Raiders with opposing quarterbacks. The Raiders, you know, they lost Aldon Smith, don't bring a lot of heat. Their DBs have started to play pretty well. David Amerson playing pretty well. They now have TJ Carey in the slot. But, you know, this should be a good weather game. And I think that there will be more scoring than the total on this game suggests, 44 points. You know, the Raiders are without Aldon Smith. The Chiefs are going to be without Justin Houston. Those are big losses. We saw Derek Carr start to turn it up last week. Amari Cooper had a big game. And
what about
Amari
Seth Roberts?
Amari Cooper will now take on Sean Smith, the same guy that Sammy Watkins was ripping up last week. So I like the Raiders passing game in this one. Really down on Latavius Murray. Just has not been effective in several weeks. And the Chiefs play a really good run D. I mean, the workload at least has been there. I think he had 23 touches in week 12. That helps, but you know, I'm down on him as a player. But yeah, I mean, that is always nice to see, you know, when Alex Smith is willing to take shots downfield and outside the numbers. That's not something that we get to see. Like, he shows that, I feel like, once or twice every single year. He certainly can make the throws. It's just whether or not he's willing to pull the trigger on them. But, you know, maybe having no DeAnthony Thomas to dump it off to, no Sharkhandrick West to dump it off to, helped him with that last week. And, you know, I would love to see that continue for the sake of Jeremy Maclin, who is a really good player, and certainly for the sake of Travis Kelce. I mean, he, you know, his nickname is a Greek god.
Got it. Let's roll.
Next meal.
Brock Weiler and the Broncos in San Diego to take on the Chargers, who got their first win in a while. C.J. Anderson coming to life. What do you got on the Broncos?
Yes, Ronnie Hillman has technically been the 1A back to C.J. Anderson's 1B for the last, I don't know, 6 weeks. But we saw that start to change against the Patriots, and I do think it'll continue. C.J. Anderson played 55% of the Broncos snaps, and he saw 19 touches, had some big runs. I mean, their running game has been so much better with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, averaging well over 5 yards a carry. They were at 3.89 yards per carry in Peyton Manning starts. So I'm back on the C.J. Anderson bus against San Diego. We know that they have run defense problems. I think that Hillman is still in play. I mean, you saw 14 touches last week. He's more of a flex option, whereas C.J. Anderson is like an upside RB2 at this stage. Demaryius Thomas had a really rough game in the snow against New England. But you know, he'll be back in the good weather here against San Diego, and I always like to bet on big time talents having bounce back games after off weeks, and so that's where I'm at with Demaryius. And we saw Osweiler start to hit some shots downfield to Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, in his first game, he was pretty much dink and dunk against Chicago. The 48-yard touchdown pass they threw to Demaryius came on a busted coverage. But last week, we started to see him hit some shots downfield. That was an element that Peyton Manning did no longer offer. So that adds yet another dimension to the Broncos' offense. Osweiler, if you wanted to start him as a streamer, I really wouldn't have any problem with that. The Chargers don't get a lot of pass rush. Their defensive back play has not been very good. Eric Weddle is injured. They got Jason Verrett and then not a whole lot else in the secondary. So I like the prospects of the Broncos offense this week. I don't know about the Chargers defense, the Chargers offense against the Broncos defense. I mean, the Broncos have arguably the best defense in football. The slot receiver, the number one receiver for San Diego is Stevie Johnson, and he's going to have to deal with Chris Harris, who is a legitimate shutdown cornerback. Antonio Gates did score 2 touchdowns last week. That was nice to see, but he was still under 50% of the Chargers' offensive snaps. He's rotating with Ladarius Green. I think that we should expect a lot of receptions for Danny Woodhead this week. I don't think you can use Melvin Gordon, even though the Chargers have been trying to force the issue with him. I mean, he's still 0 touchdowns on the year. His effectiveness is very sporadic and, overall not very good. I don't know. I've got Phillip Rivers in one of my leagues, and I'm going to be looking at quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins, see if Jay Cutler's on the waiver wire. I don't think he will be. This is a 14-teamer. And looking at to see if I can pick up some quarterback streamers to use over him.
All right. What about the let's move on, Bri. Hit it.
Next meal.
What are you doing with the Patriots? They host the Eagles. Obviously, the Eagles look like a team that's uninspired, to say the least. But I don't know what the deal is with Amendola. We do know it looks like Gronk will not play on Sunday. So yeah. What's the fantasy relevance of the Patriots now?
Yeah, so the Eagles, they're terrible. So we want to use Tom Brady against the Eagles. That pretty much goes without saying. I mean, the Eagles have given up 5 touchdown passes in back-to-back games. Their bad defensive performances have gone, even past that. Matt Cassel had a 3-touchdown game against them. I mean, they're an absolute embarrassment right now. And I love Brandon LaFell this week. The Eagles lost Nolan Carroll to a broken ankle, and Eric Rowe came in and just got torched by Megatron on Thanksgiving. Of course, Brandon LaFell is no Megatron, and you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a good matchup for Brandon LaFell, and Tom Brady may have to lean on Brandon LaFell pretty heavily, with Amendola potentially limited, no Gronk, and no Edelman. So the game just sets up beautifully for Brandon LaFell. I mean, he's a DFS play this week. And then I would not, I mean, in the second half of the game, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of this turning into a LeGarrette Blount game. You know, it may open as a LeGarrette Blount game. I mean, the Eagles have not been good in run defense either. You remember a couple weeks, they got to play the Lions on Thanksgiving, who can't run the ball on anybody. But, you know, the week before that, Doug Martin and Charles Sims ran for like 280 yards against them. And over the last five games, the Eagles have been giving up over 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. So, you know, if there is a player on the Patriots that you can project for a decent amount of work, a decent amount of usage, you want to use them. In this game, the Patriots team total is up near 30 points. That is, you know, up there with Carolina for the highest of the week.
Last but not least, Bri.
Next meal.
It is Sunday Night Football. It will not be Pete Morelli's crew, because Pete Morelli's crew is not good enough for Sunday Night Football, but it is good enough for Eagles Patriots. I don't know how that makes sense, but anyway. Steelers hosting the Colts. While we've been recording, the news came out. Big Ben will practice today.
Yes.
So it looks like he's been cleared and will be playing Sunday night. This Steelers offense, so fun to watch. But Colts defense has been playing better as of late. And I wouldn't be chasing those Marcus Wheaton points, would you?
No. No, definitely not. I mean, it was nice to see that, you know, the Steelers have that in their toolbox, that they can have a game like that from Marcus Wheaton. That is nice to see. But, yeah, I would not even pick him up in fantasy. That was a function of the opponent. You know, the Seahawks stuck Richard Sherman on Antonio Brown the entire game. I thought that the Steelers were surprisingly not – proactive about trying to get Antonio Brown open. It was almost like they didn't necessarily expect the Seahawks to put Richard Sherman on him. I mean, he was just standing outside, you know, with Richard Sherman on him almost for big chunks, especially in the second half, and Big Ben wasn't even looking at him. But you know, I think that they will get Antonio Brown the ball this week. I think he's such a great bounce-back candidate against Indianapolis. Love to hear that Ben is practicing. Ben is so awesome when he is out there. You know, this is a projected high-scoring game, 49-point total. D'Angelo Williams, one of the strongest running back plays of the week, against Indianapolis, which is going to be without Jarrell Freeman, who, if you look at Pro Football Focus player charts, in terms of run stopping, Pro Football Focus, the only inside linebacker with a better PFF grade than Jarrell Freeman this year is Luke Kuechly. So big, big loss there for Indy, which, you know, recently also lost Henry Anderson, who is arguably their best defensive lineman. So great spot for D'Angelo Williams. Martavis always gives you that monster upside. You know, you always want to have that in your fantasy lineup. Antonio Brown, really good bet to bounce back against Indy. Not really afraid of Vontae Davis at this point, and they have not been using him to shadow. Even when they went up against Atlanta, he did not shadow Julio Jones in that game. So, yeah, Ben, Antonio Brown, Heath Miller looks like he may not play this week. That's something to monitor.
What about the Colts when they got the ball?
Frank Gore really, really struggling. Pagano admitted on Monday that His body is just beaten up. And, you know, even with no Ahmad Bradshaw, which theoretically would bump up Frank Gore's workload, I don't think you can use him against Pittsburgh, which has a really strong run defense. Frank Gore, you know, I would not want to use him in fantasy this week. Let's put it that way. Again, the game total is 49 points. Matt Hasselbeck has been playing really well. I don't think he's a terrible option as a streamer. He's just been solid. He gets the ball out quickly, and he can get it to the Colts playmakers. We saw T.Y. Hilton have two TDs last week, and Moncrief had a big game as well. So that's good news. Overall, you know, Moncrief has been really inconsistent with Hasselbeck at quarterback, but you know, at least we've seen that he can be productive. I don't think he's a great fantasy start against Pittsburgh. I think that T.Y. Hilton is, and then you know, can't really mess with the tight ends when they're both playing. When Dwayne Allen misses time, you can use Fleener, but Dwayne Allen is playing right now, so those guys don't really produce.
That'll do it, by the way. It should be noted, right while we were recording this, Austin Davis will be starting for the Browns on Sunday. Does that make any difference? Should we start Benjamin Barnage, everybody?
Yeah, let's go all in on Austin Davis. No.
Go all in on Austin Davis. No, we're not. In fact, we're stuffed. We're full. It's a fantasy feast. Hopefully you guys are. We do it twice, every Wednesday, every Thursday, the NFC, the AFC, and we are answering your specific questions to make sure you make the playoffs or to dominate in the playoffs. Just forward me a sponsor confirmation for DraftKings or Stamps or whatever, any of the sponsors over at RossTucker.com on the sponsor page. Forward that email to me, Ross@RossTucker.com, and we will hook you up. We're done here. We're stuffed. Stick a fork in us. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.